This is Fronteras, a changing America. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. Today, I'm pleased to have with us in the studio Irene Oliver Lewis. She is with us from the Court Youth Center in Las Cruces. Irene, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you with us. To start off, tell me a little about the Court Youth Center and the programs that you provide there.
Well, the Court Youth Center is going to celebrate its 20th anniversary next year in 2013. So it started as an idea to include arts and physical activity for youth, middle school youth, in the city. There was nothing happening in the area in 1993. And so Reuben Smith had the idea to take the original, what was known as Court Junior High building, a historic WPA building, take that building, renovate it into a youth center for kids in arts and physical activity. So he's the one that started the concept of this idea, and it has just grown. And now 20 years later, we're still here. We've done, oh gosh, I don't even know the counts of thousands, hundreds of thousands of youth. It grew from not only middle school youth, but working with kids from four-year-olds to 22-year-olds in after-school programs and day programs. And then the Court Youth Center also wrote the charter and started the charter school Alma de Arte. And so it's all built in the building, the original Court Junior High. We have areas there. And then the future for the Court Youth Center is we are working with the Las Cruces Public Schools and the City of Las Cruces to purchase that whole facility and that whole area, 4.5 acres of land, and so it'll be a charter school complex and a community arts venue. So you're looking at a creative learning community in this area, in one of our historic districts, the Alameda District. So that's the next phase. We're also looking at artists living workspaces. So there's a big next, enough work for the next 20 years for somebody to come and take it over in the next generation. So I'm very excited in what we've done. I've been with the Court Youth Center, Reuben Smith just called me up and asked me, why don't you come in and help us out to think about this? I said, sure, I'll give you some ideas. Little did I know that it would be the next phase of my professional arts career.
And it sounds very exciting. Irene, let me ask you a question. As you know, over the past 10 years or so, there has been such a focus in public schools on standardized testing. And as a result of this, as you know, so many times public schools de-emphasize the arts. Has this led to a bigger demand for the Court Youth Center after school programs?
Oh, yes. Not only our programs, but since we started, we were really the only ones in town that were offering arts programs. We've influenced the Boys and Girls Club, the Big Brothers Big Sisters, the libraries, the museums. So there's now a lot of different art programming that's going out. ACT, the Children's Theater, the Doñana Arts Council wants to do more things with youth. So there is a need, a real major need in the community to offer arts, quality arts programming. And so they continue to do that. We continue to do that. We actually have a satellite program at J. Paul Taylor Elementary, the new charter, the J. Paul Taylor Academy, the new elementary charter school. So the Court Youth Center goes physically to J. Paul Taylor and does after-school programming. So we do that. And actually, the next phase of the Court Youth Center is to go back to our roots of more after-school programming. Because when we started the charter school, we pulled back some of the after-school programming, and now we are. And there's just a need there. It's still the statistics show that time frame between 3 and 6 that our youth need to be engaged in quality work and play instead of into other areas that they may not be should be doing.
Okay. On the flip side, let's talk about the charter school, I mean, with this focus on standardized testing and those subjects that are tested, math, reading, is this a challenge to be able to engage students in the arts while there's all that pressure on the other end on math and reading standardized test scores, which has some other implications that we may talk about down the line here?
Yes, it is a fine line to walk because it is impacting all of the nation. Not that I believe that all educators and all educational administrators believe in accountability. The method of getting the accountability is very diverse, and whether we, from No Child Left Behind to our current core Common Core standards that are coming into play across the nation, and then what is testing. So testing, as a matter of fact, I was just part of a panel here at NMSU through the Education Department and the Hispanic Caucus. They offered a four-day summit that they called Leading in the Arts, Creativity, Culture, and Community. And we were asking, I happened to be on the panel that talked about that very thing. And so we brought out the statistics. What do you want to get out in the assessment? What are our children learning and how are they moving forward? Now, what we, those of us who work in the arts, have to do is have to look at assessments and show that the learning through the arts is indeed affecting the traditional learning that people are out there asking us to approve and to document, because not every child learns in the same way, and not every child can succeed in the standardized tests that we have. That doesn't mean that we don't stop working at having them be successful in the standardized test, but there might be different methods to learning the knowledge of the math, the science, the reading, the writing. There's different ways of addressing that and getting to the end product. So the arts, what they do in the educational system is they allow you the process of learning in a different way so you succeed, so your product of passing the tests come in a different way. And so at ALMA, we've altered the daily schedule. This year we've gone into a different schedule so that you can have year-round English and you can have year-round, because we were block scheduling, there's now year-round math, and we're seeing if this is going to make a difference. But that doesn't mean that you're not also doing what I call arts integration, which is taking the arts and integrating them in the subject area. So you might have a science project that, like for instance, they might be teaching gravity and energy, and they might end up with a mobile inspired by Calder. You may have a movement and rhythm in math, which corresponds to great math in music. So those kids who are taking guitar as an elective, they are learning counting. They are learning that directly relates to math. So that's how you incorporate the arts into a traditional environment and learning. And we still have a lot to do and to focus in at ALMA. We're having a visioning session because we're up for renewal. We've been around in 2014 will be our beginning of our 10th year. And so we're up for a charter renewal. And so discussing that very data-driven mentality that is part of all education currently.
Yeah. And along with that, we cannot forget one of the most important areas of learning that's also integrated into the arts through poetry and essays, and that is writing. And my goodness, you know, educators that I talk to, Irene, and I've had the opportunity over the years to teach at the college level, say something is going on here that isn't too good in terms of this focus on standardized testing that may take away time that used to be devoted in high school to writing. And in fact, just in the last month here, national standardized test results that have come out showing only about a quarter, only about one in four high school students nationwide are testing at the proficient level or higher in writing. And so we have a real problem.
We do have a real problem. We have a real problem that the U.S. is going to become competitive in a global society. We have a problem to really go back to the strength that we used to have in the traditional, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, there was a certain sense in those early classrooms. I remember as a child, we had reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we also had music, and we also had art, and we sometimes had dance. So it was always in the classroom, and teachers always did it. So we need to think about in a different way to make ourselves competitive again and to lead forward. You're exactly right. The numbers have been very, very, very discouraging because, and so to me, what that says, okay, if you've had, because we've had the standardized testing for No Child Left Behind, you know, since what's now been 8 years. And so, and it's not getting better. So what is not getting better? Are you, you should assess that and look at it. If you're asking that the reading and the math and the writing improve, what are the methods you're using to get the tests? That's a concept of the Common Core. That's the Common Core standards, is that everybody should be teaching the same at a national level. Well, again, that's a great idea, but how are you getting to the knowledge of it is what I think is wrong with our educational system. We're not looking at the different types of learners and how you work with educators to have them be as successful and as creative and as energized as they possibly can in their classroom, because it is the hardest thing to be in a classroom. It is the hardest job, and to get people to understand and to learn all your different type of learners. So we actually at Alma went up in our reading. We're higher than the state, and we're higher than the Las Cruces Public Schools this in the last statistics that we got for all the standardized tests.
Congratulations.
We are very, very happy. We've also had a really good rate of our high school graduation from the very beginning.
That's wonderful.
Because it's small, because they're you're looked at differently, you're looked at where do you succeed and moving forward. So I'm very hopeful and thinking that even in this environment of standardization, there still can be some creativity in our educational system.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations on that, and good luck as you continue. I want to switch gears here a little bit because we didn't have a chance to talk with you about a recent event that you held, the Cultural Legacy Awards for some well-known individuals in our community. Tell me about this and how this went and why you did it.
Well, it's an idea I had several years ago, and it finally materialized this year. I wanted to say thank you. Personally, I wanted to say thank you to some individuals who have been instrumental at the Courtview Center and supporting the Courtview Center in lots of different ways, not just monetarily, but in different ways. But I said, well, not only have they helped the Courtview Center, but let's look at individuals who have made a difference in our community in arts and culture. So that was the deciding factor of picking the individuals. And each one of them indeed has made a major contribution to our community. Everybody knows J. Paul Taylor. He is a great statesman and a great supporter of education, bilingual education, arts education, and then of course what he's done, he and his family have done in donating their house as a state monument. That this is going to mean a major difference in our community. And then, of course, Reuben Smith. He's the one that had the idea to even create the Court Youth Center. And he's a musician. He works so much in his political career with a representative in changing laws for youth. He was the first one that looked at the Brannigan Library to be turned into a cultural center. So he has years of work that has not been acknowledged. And I felt that it needed to be. And then Derrickson Moore, who is a writer. When you talk about writing and the effect that words have in our life and in our community, in her programs and her written stories and her Artist of the Week, she has influenced the success of so many events in town because of her continuous stories and features and awareness. And I felt she needed to be. And from the minute I was one of her first artists in residence, she has always done stories about the Court Youth Center and Alma de Arte, and then Lalo Natividad and Richard Weeks. And Richard was honored posthumously. They started, well, they didn't start. They had a resurgence and revitalizing of the Fiestas Dieciséis de Septiembre that just occurred, the Cinco de Mayo. And they started the Christmas Caroling in Mesilla. So they, what they did, and so many people don't even know who these two guys are who live in Mesilla and are architects, I mean, and what they have in their home. And so it was, the event was a treasure. It was the awards that we created were done by Joey Murillo, this incredible box that was, I call it a living Nicho, which is had pictures of the things they've done and an incredibly intricate, beautiful gift. It was not your traditional award ceremony. It was a performance. I'm in theater, so I presented it as a performance. So we had music that identified each one of them that they liked. So we had Mariachi, our Espuelas de Plata group from the Court Youth Center perform. Mr. Taylor loves mariachis. So we did mariachi also for Lalo and Richard because they're always at the festas. We had jazz, we had classical, and then we ended with, I know it's very trite, but it still brings tears to my eyes The Wind Beneath My Wings, you know, the hero. You are my hero, and, you know, and Shiro's. So they're my heroes and Shiro's, and we ended the evening. And then Olive Garden and Sierra Vista Growers were our sponsors, and the Las Cruces Sun News were our sponsors. And so we had a great reception. It was a marvelous event. And it's a very, I believe, becoming a prestigious award. So the next Legacy Award winners will have to be a lot of thought. It's not going to be a yearly award because you have to think about it and who has assisted the Court Youth Center as well as creating something ongoing and living.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it was a wonderful celebration. We have to take time to celebrate those who make a difference in our community. I'm sure, Irene, we're going to have some celebrations coming up later this year because a new arts center is opening in Las Cruces at New Mexico State University. What do you think this will mean for the community, having this wonderful new facility right at University and Espina?
You can't miss it.
It's right there.
That's for sure.
On the corner.
On the corner. You can run into it. Well, I think it's very exciting. And what's very exciting is because I got my degrees here at NMSU. I got my undergraduate degree in theater and in journalism. So Herschel Zone was my mentor. And so to have, he would be so thrilled and pleased to see that growth from when he started in the barracks, the theater department in the barracks, and now to this wonderful building. And then, of course, Mark Medoff, who they're just doing, the community theater is doing When You Coming Back, Red Rider. I was in the original production of that in, 1975. But to have that, those two names are going to continue on in the theater. And then what it does is it apparently it is going to be the best of tech. You can get technical theater and what you can do. So to have that excellence in our community, to be able to grow the theater and to be able to have it here is going to be major, because what it does is it shows that the community and the university is honoring the arts as much as they honor agriculture, as much as they honor engineering, which when I started school, those were the two big fields, that why we were a land-grant college and all that information. So it is a monument to the continuation of our arts. And I know originally it was to be all of the arts coming together, so we don't have to forget that we need to honor the visual arts, and we have to honor the dance and the performing arts and the music that is still staying in the recital hall, the Atkinson Recital Hall. So to bring all the arts together, theater does that. It is an ensemble art form that integrates everybody. So I think it's a great tribute. I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be a graduate of NMSU. Everything I learned and then went on in the world to be able to do, I learned in this little place, even in this little room that we're in here. As a journalism major, as we were talking, used to cut and paste and slice all the things. And so I'm very proud to see the growth of our community. And I'm going to give a plug now. I'm going to be on the pledge drive on October the 4th. I've committed. So I want everybody out there, When you call in to do your pledge, wait till I'm on. I'm going to be on October the 4th from 4 to the 8 o'clock time, so that we do All Things Considered, and then we go on to Emily's Fiesta. So I'm inviting all my friends to wait and pledge when I'm on the air.
You didn't know it, but you provided a segue for me. I only have about a minute or two left here. Arts and culture, as you know, and as you've indicated, is a big part of KRWG radio and television. Just got an email, as a matter of fact, from a viewer who said, I can't believe you played a full week of opera on KRWG-TV. No one else does this. They recognize that. And it's only possible because people support us volunteering and through their financial support as well. What does this mean to you in an era in which we have, on the commercial side, more and more quote-unquote reality television, that's the cheap stuff that folks throw on the air, that public TV and public radio is still alive and vibrant thanks to individuals who support it?
Well, it's major, and I truly believe that I go around the country, and when I listen to different NPR stations and see different NPR, ours are top-notch here in Las Cruces, really top-notch. And so to continue that is very, very important in our community. And even the little, I'm a nonprofit. We exist because of grants we write or because of donations, both in kind and monetary. So that is so important. People forget that KRWG is here with the university, gets a certain amount of money, but you cannot get the excellence of programming that you get unless individuals like our listening audience, our viewing audience, myself, are out there saying we need to help. So it is major, a contribution, anything from $5 to $5 million. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be. Irene Oliver Lewis, it was fun having you on the program today from the Court Youth Center. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
And thank you for joining us at home. I'm Fred Martino. Want you to stay tuned. We have images coming up next here on KRWG. And also all week long, please join us online at krwg.org. Have a great